Okay, let's get it. Locked on LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, and right here for the Locked on LSU podcast. Hitch up the U-Haul, or the trailer to the U-Haul, as LSU tries to haul back all of this hardware that they picked up at the College Football Awards show on Thursday night. We'll talk about that. The possibility of the coaching carousel involving LSU we'll delve into, and a preview from football analyst Mike Dettillier on the Peach Bowl. First, though, Joe Burrow, he will win the Heisman Trophy on Saturday. But before that, earlier this week, he was in Baltimore for the Unitas Award. And on Thursday night, Joe Burrow was in Atlanta for the College Football Award show. And his reign was relentless. Burrow wins the Davey O'Brien Award for the best quarterback in college football. He wins both the Maxwell and Walter Camp National Player of the Year awards. Sometimes you will see those awards sort of split up to share the wealth somewhat. You might see, for example, I know I've referenced this, in 2003, Jason White won both the Davey O'Brien and Heisman trophies, but Eli Manning won the Maxwell for the National Player of the Year. So sometimes you see that, but Joe Burrow on Thursday, we found out in a landslide, was the AP National Player of the Year. He won the Maxwell, the O'Brien, and the Walter Camp National Player of the Year awards. Here was the LSU quarterback on winning the O'Brien Award.
What's it like to share this moment? You got a healthy contingent of LSU, including Mr. Chase, your favorite target over there.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player. I think he's 18, that's not bad. And then and Coach O, obviously, I'm so happy for him to get Coach of the Year. He deserves it.
Burrow was quick to thank teammates, but also said he likes the awards, but is very much ready to get back to game planning as a football guy. And I know that's next week what LSU will get back to. But it wasn't just Burrow. We also found out, as we expected, that Ja'Marr Chase won the Biletnikoff as the best receiver in college football over CeeDee Lamb of Oklahoma and Michael Pittman of USC. Here was Chase on representing LSU.
I can say it means a lot, you know, the work ethic from the DBs there, you know, there's a lot of competition every day and just pushing my guys and my guys pushing me.
Joe Burrow praised his receiver and in turn receiver praised quarterback.
You bonded with your quarterback. This is the first time in 15 years that a Davey O'Brien Award winner has thrown passes to a Biletnikoff Award winner. You got to go back to Collins and Ingram at Penn State in 94. Talk about that connection, the guy coming from Ohio State and having two great years in the Bayou.
I can say it was pretty, you know, not normal when he first came, you know, pretty unique guy of Joe, but.
Unique how?
That's hard to explain. But, you know, Joe is Joe. I always get that question. Joe is Joe. That's the only thing I can say about him.
And what Joe is has been plenty enough for LSU this year and certainly for the best season in the history of the Southeastern Conference. But it wasn't just those two. Something we talked about throughout the week and really for several weeks now was Grant Delpit's opportunity to win the Thorpe Award. And I've mentioned this for weeks now, but sometimes you have to arrive before you can win the award. And Grant Delpit should have won the Thorpe. He should have won every defensive award a year ago when he was a unanimous All-American. But that didn't happen. This year, Delpit was beset by injuries. He was in some instances playing out of position, but for the most part on the biggest stages, he played his best games. That run against Mississippi State, Auburn, and Alabama when he kind of got back to his normal strong safety position, played exceptionally well. The statistics for Grant Delpit this year are still very good and certainly comparable to the other finalists. 56 tackles for Delpit. He had a sack. He had 6 passes defense, 2 interceptions, and a fumble recovery. So Grant Delpit, much like I would say Glenn Dorsey in 2007, Dorsey had his better year in 06, but he won all the awards in 07. Patrick Peterson had a better year statistically in 09, but he won the Thorpe and the Bednarik in 2010. This is one of those instances where, you know, Delpit was probably deserving a year ago, but is still the guy with the name recognition who affects the game in so many ways, and Grant Delpit ended up winning the Thorpe Award, LSU's third Thorpe Award winner for the best defensive back in college football. And he talked about wearing that number 7 and winning this award.
Well, man, first of all, it's just an honor and a blessing to be here, man. Just even just be nominated for this award. You know, two great players in Jeff, you know, JR. Just truly blessed and honored, man. Give all thanks to God. But as far as number seven goes, man, it's really a coach's decision. You know, Coach O is one of the best coaches in America, man. Just give me a number just to make plays. I think I did a pretty good job of that.
And Delpit talked about his head.
You know, the team loves him, man. He's a player's coach all the way. You know, I can't say enough good about Coach O, man. People didn't really give him a chance at first. You know, he came out and showed people different. You know, we're not done yet.
The not done yet was a familiar refrain from the LSU contingent. Speaking of Ed Orgeron, he continues to clean up as well, as he was named the Home Depot College Football National Coach of the Year.
Just so fortunate. I thank God first. I thank my wonderful family. I thank his great players. They gave so much to this football team and the great assistant coaches. I accept this for our whole coaching staff. These guys come to work at 4 in the morning. They go home at 11 o'clock at night. I believe I have the greatest coaching staff in America.
And one more from Ed Orgeron is something he's talked a lot about. It's about learning from mistakes made early in his career that have led him to this point.
Nobody writes a book and tell you how to be a coach. You got to go out there and do it, and you got to learn from your mistakes. And then hopefully you don't repeat the same mistakes. I think that I'm able to lead LSU, the place that we always wanted to be, in the great state of Louisiana. We're so proud of what we do on our football team, but we're just getting started.
The coaching carousel season, always kind of crazy. Nobody covers it better than Scott Roussel and his staff at Football Scoop. Had a chance to visit with Scott, and you can go hear our entire interview at 1045ESPN.com if you click on demand. But talked about a few things that you'll find interesting. We talked about Joe Brady. We talked about Dave Aranda, the flirtation with UNLV, what might be next. We talked about Frank Wilson, if he might be apt to rejoin this LSU staff. But I started by asking about Ed Orgeron, in particular, what happened at Arkansas and hiring Sam Pittman. If that is the influence of success of a guy like Ed Orgeron, loves the university, can recruit, hire great staff, delegate, be the CEO. Is that the Ed Orgeron influence already infiltrated?
Absolutely. People believe in that now because they've seen it and they're like, okay, we could do this. That's not what Arkansas set out to do.
Okay.
That's where they are.
Yeah.
So they're going to stake their, you know, they're going to plant their flag and say, that's what we are now. That's not what they tried to be, but that's okay. So there they are. They got that guy. He loves the place. He was already building his dream house up there. He's building his retirement home up there, not far away at all, out on the lake. And, yeah, that's what they're trying to do. You know, he's trying to hire – he's maybe tomorrow might have a big splash defensive coordinator, maybe, if something breaks just right for him. He's got some excitement coming in on offense too. So, yeah, he's trying to build the Ed Orgeron model,
yeah.
100%. And, yes, people see it and believe it and say, we can do that.
It's obviously it's said all the time, but football's such a copycat game. I think this is people are doing this. They're doing the Ed Orgeron thing.
They are, 100%. Are you kidding me?
How could you argue with it at this point? Now, it helps if you have Joe Burrow.
It does help if you have Joe Burrow.
And maybe Joe Brady as well. Scott Roussel is with us, Football Scoop. He's here on site with us at Calandro. So let me ask you about Brady. Does he get sniffs? I know we heard the Texas thing. I mean, is that a thing where major colleges are starting to – I mean, he's got an agent now, right? He didn't even have an agent 2 weeks ago.
That's awesome.
It's absurd.
I think it's awesome. It's who he is.
It is. I know.
That's the guys you want. You want the Steve Ensmingers. You want the Joe Brady's. They just come to work and they love it. They absolutely love it. Every staff wishes they had that. Joe's not looking to leave. Joe is so happy. He can't even believe the success that he's had.
And he is about to be so rich.
Oh, he's... Joe can come take out this whole store right now. He's a wonderful guy. LSU is blessed to have him, and I hope they can hang on to him for a long time. He's a great story.
Yeah. What about the Aranda stuff with UNLV? How serious was that?
That was serious. Dave was one of those guys who was actually considering if that made sense for him career-wise. I don't think that idea made any sense for him. I don't think it was good for LSU, in all honesty. You've got so many things going the right direction down the train tracks. Don't have these distractions. I felt like it would have been great for O to come in and Dave and make a public statement and say, I'm locked in. They're not doing that. You know, people say, hang on, wait to see what happens to the NFL. I don't love that if I'm LSU. You know, I want everybody all bought in, and hopefully you'll hear that soon, but we haven't heard it yet.
So nobody really knows publicly what Dave wants. The thing that I remember, he was here the first year, and then when Ed got the job full-time, they extended Dave, and Dave was made available to a pool of reporters. And I remember, I think it was Jacques Doucet who asked him point-blank, do you want to be a head coach? And his answer was, I was standing 2 feet from the man. He goes, I think that's the goal. I mean, that's exactly right. How he said it. I mean, it was so non-committal that maybe behind closed doors, people he really confides in might know better. But I don't get that sense. Do you have any better read on what Dave actually wants to do?
Think back. I mean, we were just talking about Joe Brady. Think back to where Dave was a couple of years ago. He's a guy. He was completely happy at
Utah State.
Anywhere. Any
Wisconsin,
stop before.
Yeah.
He was equally as happy there just coaching ball.
Yeah.
He wasn't looking for any of this. A lot of these guys I talk to around the country, they are blown away by the position they're in. None of these guys can believe the money they're making, honestly. Some of them, it goes to their heads, and they start to have bigger demands. But a lot of these guys just see themselves as a guy who loves to develop young men, help improve their lives, first and foremost, second, their football careers. And Dave's one of those guys, and he's also an absolute tactician of the game. He loves to study it. He's a scheme guy. You know, would love to sit there with Belichick all day long and just come up with great plans and ideas.
Totally nerd out on defense.
100%. I don't know that. I don't know the answer to what exactly Dave wants. And you know, in this career, in this path, sometimes a college opportunity presents itself. Sometimes an NFL, and you're like, wow, I hadn't even thought of that. Mm-hmm. Jeez, do I do this or not? And, oh, by the way, they need an answer in 24 hours.
Yeah.
So it's hard to predict these things.
Scott Roussel, Football Scoop, at Football Scoop on Twitter, footballscoop.com. I got asked about Frank Wilson because that's obviously a huge thing here. And, I mean, I get asked every day, is Frank coming? When's Frank? Why haven't we heard anything of Frank? Frank, what's up with Frank? So is Frank coming? Why haven't we heard anything? What's going on? I'll ask you.
All right, so you're talking about some exceptionally successful guys, these college football coaches. If you've made it to a head coach, you are an incredibly successful young man. And then to be fired is something that, especially the first time or the second time, it hurts. It sets you back. It's a blow to your ego, and it takes you a while to regroup. Some of these guys have been through it so many times.
Yeah.
They're immediately on the phone. Frank wasn't like that. Frank's like, I need to decompress. There will be options. You listen to Frank talk, he's trusting God. And he's like, God's going to present the right opportunity at the right time, and he doesn't need to make it happen. He's going to see God's path, and he's going to say, this is where I'm going. This is where I'm meant to be. Will it be at LSU? We'll have to see. Again, LSU has to focus on right now.
Yeah.
They got two big football games. You know, if I'm Ed, I am fully invested right here. Because a lot of those other things, they matter, but they don't change the potential to change LSU's future in immediacy.
If you win two more games, right.
You got to be all in, 100% locked in.
Is there a market for Frank Wilson to be a head coach again now?
Well, not at the level he'd like to be at, no. There is a market for him to be a head coach, but it's not certainly not a Power 5 football job.
You raised your eyebrows when I started the question.
I was going to say yes, 100%.
Of course there's a market for Frank Wilson.
I think very respected football coach.
Who wouldn't
coach.
Want Frank Wilson on their staff?
I thought you were going to say, no, as a head coach even. Just not at the level where he would like to be. And so he's evaluating what the right move is for himself. You know, I talked to a lot of these guys, Matt, who are Power 5 coordinators, Power 5 assistant coaches, and they get offered. I'm talking to a guy yesterday. Power 5 assistant coach gets offered the opportunity to be a coordinator at a Group of 5 school. And it's like, man, it's a big change. You know, I'd really like to be a coordinator, but it's hard to get back to the Power 5 level.
Yeah.
And Frank, you know, was here at Power 5, goes and becomes a Group of 5 head coach. And I was like, well, how? You know, he wants to be a Power 5 head coach. How do I get back there? What's the right path? So he's got to figure that out about, you know, and see what options are there. But I suspect he'll be a Power 5 assistant coach next.
Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. Listening on the go? If you can't visit DoorDash right now, You can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcasts.com/offers. Wrapping up a Friday edition of the Locked On LSU podcast, your team every day. We got a good amount of time here to count down between LSU and Oklahoma, but we're going to start getting some early insights from a lot of the folks we talked to, and among them, football analyst Mike Dettillier. And I asked Mike his early thoughts on the LSU-Oklahoma matchup.
A total mismatch in the pitch-and-catch part of the game. Oklahoma's not going to be able to cover LSU's receivers. Bottom line, I mean, I have watched Oklahoma's defense play this year. I mean, you know, here you have a third-string quarterback, and you know Baylor's going to throw the football, and he lit him, didn't he? I mean, he got after him, throwing the ball. My thing is, good gracious, they have not faced anybody like Joe Burrow that can throw. No, they do in practice because, you know, Jalen Hurts is a talented football player, and he's different than Joe in the fact that he's an accurate quarterback, but he's not that accurate. He's not on that Joe level. And throwing the ball, they have designated plays for him. It was something Lincoln Riley and getting a chance to talk to him this summer. He was like, every quarterback that's come here, my job is to figure out the best plays for him. Not the best plays for me, the best plays for him. And we've seen what they've used. Hurts a lot more on the move, Hurts running the football. So they're going to give you some issues there with a running quarterback that, you know, is really mobile, and he's like another running back rushing the ball. Now, again, how well he'll throw the football, I still question up against that secondary of LSU's. But the total mismatch is LSU's receivers going up against OU's defensive backs. They're going to torch him in the secondary, absolutely torch him.
Have they seen anything?
I think it's a blowout win. I think it's a blowout win for LSU.
On Monday's edition of the Locked On LSU podcast, LSU is going to get started to work on Oklahoma. So we'll start getting you ready for that matchup when we're back here next week. And, of course, we'll be back Monday talking about a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback from LSU. We'll look forward to seeing you then. In the meantime, please subscribe to the Locked On LSU podcast. Rate us on iTunes, leave a review. All of that is tremendously helpful, and we appreciate it greatly. Until Monday, have a great weekend. Locked On LSU, your team every day.